Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CreditAccess Grameen Limited Q1 FY26 conference call hosted by Equirus Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risk and uncertainty that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shreepal Doshi for Equirus Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to Q1 FY26 earnings call of CreditAccess Grameen. Today, we have the top management of CreditAccess Grameen, represented by Mr. Ganesh Narayanan, CEO and MD Designate, Mr. Gururaj Rao, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Nilesh Dalvi, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sahib Sharma, Head Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ganesh for his opening remarks, post which we can open the forum for question and answer. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shreepal. A very good evening to all of you. We are pleased to welcome you to the conference call to discuss our first quarter FY26 business performance. We've begun FY26 with a positive momentum, setting the tone for the year ahead. Our Q1 FY26 performance has created a new benchmark, achieving the highest-ever first-quarter disbursement in our history. This is a testament to our resilience and agility that define us, given that we are coming off the back of a challenging credit cycle. Before we deep dive into the first-quarter performance, I will encourage all of you to go through our FY25 integrated annual report themed "Being Sustainable and Responsible," available on our website. This report reinforces the principles that define us while capturing the full spectrum of our financial performance, business strategy, progress in our ESG journey, and commitment to robust corporate governance. We have witnessed broad-based decline in PAR accretion rates across our operating geographies, with a strong ground-level execution and disciplined approach to customer engagement. The PAR 15+ accretion rate stood at 0.46 in June 2025, compared to 1.34 in November 2024. Karnataka is gradually inching towards stabilization, with new PAR 15+ accretion rate significantly being controlled at 0.58% for the month of June 2025, from a peak of 2% in February 2025. The gradual stabilization in asset quality over the past three quarters has enabled renewed focus on our growth. Our employee base grew from 20,970 employees in March 2025 to 21,333 employees by the end of June 2025, while maintaining a lower annualized attrition rate of 27.1% in Q1 FY26. This has resulted in improved customer servicing and supporting our asset quality outcomes. We have strengthened our market position amid multiple headwinds, increasing our AUM-based market share by 70 basis points during FY25 to reach 6.9% of the overall microfinance industry. This gain reflects the consistency of our approach, with a continuous new-to-credit customers and a strong commitment to supporting our borrowers through every stage of their credit journey. We added 2.16 lakh borrowers in Q1 FY26, of which 43% were new-to-credit, maintaining a consistent trend quarter after quarter. As a result, 33%, or one-third of the borrower base, is unique with CA Grameen as of June 2025, compared to 26% in August 2024. The branch expansion is progressing well, with 54 branches opened in Q1 FY26 across a mix of vintage markets and newer geographies. Our retail finance portfolio, the strategic growth lever, witnessed a significant increase in YoY share from 2.9% to 6.8% at the end of June 2025. We are pursuing a calibrated growth in the segment, with a strong focus on maintaining asset quality. At the same time, it is important to highlight the increasing share of three-year loans in GL book, rising to 44.3% in Q1 FY26 from 33.3% in Q1 FY25. While the strength reflects the improvement in serviceability and long-term retention, the probability of us handholding these customers into retail finance increases meaningfully given our evolve with customer philosophy. Our internal policies on placing limits on credit exposure even before MFIN guardrails were implemented have resulted in a natural and steady deleveraging trend. Referring to slides 10 and 11, GLP of borrowers with greater than three lenders stood at 11.1% in June 25 versus 25.3% in August 24. The GLP of borrowers with greater than 2 lakh unsecured indebtedness stood at 9.5% as of June 25 compared to 19.1% in August 24. Further, the average total unsecured debt of CA Grameen borrowers has declined 14% year-on-year, while the average monthly obligation has declined by 6% year-on-year. PAR 15-plus in case of borrowers with four lenders stood at 14.3% as of mid-June 25 versus 12.6% in March 25. Similarly, PAR 15 in case of borrowers with more than four lenders stood at 31.1% as of June 25 versus 27.8% end of March 25. This shows that delinquencies have largely crystallized in case of borrowers with greater than three lenders, while 80% of these customers continue to make regular payments. Out of the overall PAR 15 plus of 6.4%, 35% was on account of greater than three lenders. Similarly, out of overall PAR of 60 plus, 4.1%, PAR 60 of 4.1%, 36% was on account of borrowers with greater than three lenders. Our accelerated write-off journey, which commenced in Q3 FY25, is steadily driving us towards balance sheet normalization. In Q1 FY26, we undertook write-off of 693 crore, which included an accelerated write-off of 603 crores, related to 180-plus non-paying accounts, leading to an additional credit cost of 193 crores for the quarter. As highlighted in slide 6, the share of credit cost due to new PAR accretion has consistently declined since Q3 FY25, whereas credit cost on account of write-offs has increased. This has been in line with the company's aim towards balance sheet normalization through conservative provisioning and accelerated write-offs. Overall, the company continued to hold 133 bps or 331 crore higher provisions over PAR 90, 323 bps or 833 crore higher provisions compared to IRAC prudential norms, and 74 crore higher provisions compared to NBFC provisioning norms. Our collection efficiency excluding arrears stood at 93.2% for Q1 FY26, while being 93.5% for the month of June 25. PAR 90 stood at 3.29%, GNPA of 4.70% and net NPA of 1.78%, both predominantly measured at 60 plus DPD. Net interest income grew 7% quarter on quarter to 937 crore. With portfolio yield at 20.3% and interest spread of 10.6%. We observed a decline of 8 bps in our average cost of borrowings to 9.7% at the end of Q1 FY26, having remained stable at 9.8% over previous 7 quarters. During Q1 FY26, we raised 2,570 crores, which included partial drawdowns from our maiden USD 100 million multi-currency syndicated social loan, comprising of Japanese yen and US dollars denominated commitments. This transaction is particularly significant as it was priced comparable to our domestic borrowing rates and notably lower than our average cost of borrowing. We raised money from leading banks from South Asia and Far East, reflecting our strong ESG credentials and consistent impact-driven record. We remain confident of building on this momentum as we work towards our strategic objective of achieving 25 to 30% foreign borrowings by financial year 28. NIM remains steady at 12.8% for Q1 FY26. Cost to income ratio stood at 33.5%, while PPOP stood at 653 crore in Q1 FY26. The liquidity levels, including cash and cash equivalents, were adequate at 2025 crore, amounting to 7.3% of the total assets. Additionally, we have sanctions in hand of 3,093 crore and another 6,500 crore worth of sanctions in pipeline. The capital adequacy remained comfortable at 25.5%. We delivered a PAT of 60 crore in Q1 FY26, leading to ROA of 0.9% and an ROE of 3.4%. The microfinance sector is showing signs of stabilization, supported by implementation of MFIN guardrails and improved lending discipline across the ecosystem. Looking ahead, the outlook for FY26 remains encouraging, with favorable monsoon forecasts and strengthening rural sentiment laying the groundwork for sectoral revival. Our strong business momentum and stabilizing asset quality position us well to deliver robust profitability in the second half of FY26 as guided. Thank you for your attention and time. We now open the forum for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Ranish from ICICI. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a good set of numbers. Just two, three questions from my side. First on this PAR 15 accretion data. So it is very clear that, except Karnataka, most of the states are either stabilized or maybe better than, the June 24 levels. But when we look at Karnataka specifically, PAR 15 accretion, it is still, significantly higher at 58 basis point versus 16 basis point in June 24. And also, when we look at PAR 0, which is increased to 9.2 in June. What is happening at the ground level? What are the factors, which is causing this delay? And does this also possess any risk to our, Karnataka credit cost guidance of 1 to 1.25, which we shared last quarter?
Okay, so Ranish, at ground level, the situation is consistently improving. If you see the chart, we have on a month-on-month basis, we've shown improvement in Karnataka also. I agree that it is not at a normal level, but we are hoping that by end of Q2, we should see further drop in new PAR accretion in Karnataka. And we'll have to kind of watch Q3 to see where this will settle down, right? So we'll have to see whether it goes back to the earlier trend of 15, 20 bps or it's going to kind of settle down slightly higher. But at least the monthly trend is showing that it is consistently every month, probably on a weekly basis also, it is showing a very strong trend of recovery. Right? So the nature of PAR is still the same, that a certain section of customers are using the ordinance to kind of request for some more time. But however, what is encouraging is that you are seeing that in the early buckets, more 40% of customers, that is before 60 days, more than 40% of customers are partially paying. So while you are accruing new PAR, the old PAR is also performing through partial payments, right? So it should kind of balance out during this quarter is what we feel.
So this partial payment customers are only for Karnataka, right?
No, this or is overall as a company also we have 40%. Ah. Karnataka is also similarly trending.
For the new PAR accretion you are saying?
Yes, so less than 60 days partial paying customers at a company level as well as Karnataka is roughly around 40-45%.
Got it. And does this possess any risk to our credit cost guidance in Karnataka, what we shared in Q4 of 1 to 1.25%?
So we would want to keep it there, but however, we'll have to see how Q2 pans out and how we stabilize in Q3, right? So the only comforting factor is every month we are seeing progress, and we'll have to see how this kind of tapers down over the next few months.
Got it. So second question is on the retail finance. You also mentioned in your opening remarks about strategically scale up of this book. So can you share a little more detail about, which product is driving this growth, which geography, how are the setup, internally, who is leading this business, etc.?
Sure. So broadly, today, our retail finance comprises of graduated customers taking unsecured business loans. It also comprises of mortgage loans, that is secured business loans, as well as affordable home loans. Right. So today, as we speak, most of the book, that is more than 1,000, currently it is 1,300 crores. Unnati. 1,300, right?
Yeah.
So the unsecured business loan book is around 1,300 crores, which is the graduated customers taking unsecured business loans. This is predominantly done in our core geographies, which is Karnataka, Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, MP. And during the year, we will scale this up to a few more branches, right? So as of last year, we had rolled this out in around 400, close to 500 branches. As of now, we've rolled this out in around 735 branches. So this is one part of the retail finance. With respect to mortgage loans, that book stands at roughly around 250 crores, right? 250 crores, this is the secured business loans. And home loan stands at 100 odd crores as we speak.
Okay.
134 crores
is the home loans. Got it. So just a follow up on that. So this unsecured business loan, what is the tenure?
So this is 3-year tenure predominantly. You're talking about unsecured business loans, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is predominantly 3-year tenure.
And any data to share on 6 month on book performance or anything?
So this unsecured business loans, as of last quarter, we were roughly at a par 30 of close to 2%. And we are range bound. I think we've seen a slight increase here, predominantly because this book is also in Karnataka. But we are around 75 bps higher than Q4. But we see that also stabilizing in the coming quarter.
So what is the par 30 you said? 2 basis points. Mm-hmm.
So last quarter we said it is sub 2%. Now it's inched up by 75-80 bps.
Okay. Got it. And just the last thing, sir, there was a media article suggesting, you know, many players are increasing their lending rates in MFI. So are we also contemplating any rate hike or how is it?
So we've not increased rates for the past few quarters. That media article was kind of quoting what is published on the website as well as comparing it with portfolio yield. So on a QOQ basis, our average lending rates have not increased.
Okay. And we have not, we're not looking at
in the near future.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you, Ranesh.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from AB Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, Abhishek.
Yes, sir, you're audible. Yeah. I know you already spoke, but just again wanted to ask this only. You think we are the challenging portion of the credit cycle, we have already crossed it, right? And we can again grow confidently, aggressively like our past.
Yes, that is the confidence that we are seeing consistently month on month, right? So that is why we've been publishing monthly updates. So every month we are seeing improvement with certain amount of aberration that happened in April because of year closure and holidays, and that translating to slightly elevated PAR in May also. But I think consistently, if I see as a trend, we are inching towards normalcy.
Okay. And any other state other than Karnataka that you would like to flag as of now, where stress might be there a little bit?
No, all other states have really come back quite strongly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I have 3 questions. My first question is on one of your peers had commented in their result call that they are facing some challenges in growing the MFI book in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. Now, I understand this is your home turf, so can you help, some color you can give about on, you know, what kind of growth and new customer acquisition has been seen in these two geographies in the past quarter? I know in the PPT you give us that data for the past 1 year, but just for the quarter. That's my first question. My second question question is on the employee cost. So I understand that your employee count was increasing from fourth quarter itself. So the employee cost has come in at a elevated rate. What should be the run rate? How should we build it for the year? Was it that more variable was paid out this year? Some color on that would be useful over here. And my third question is, I think you've partly mentioned, but I still wanted to understand that last time you had mentioned that in your stage 3, your provision coverage is at a 50-60%, whatever level it is, because on the partially paying account, you had kept lower PCR. So what has been the behavioral trend of this partially paying account? Do we foresee the need to provide more or it's an improving trend? These are my three questions. Thank you.
Okay. On the first question, we don't see any specific difference in customer acquisition with respect to challenges in Karnataka, Tamil Nadu. It is like any other state. We are normatively growing across all states. And with respect to OPEX, the OPEX in Q4 is slightly lower because we had revisions, we had revised the provisions with respect to annual performance bonus, given the moderation in the performance of the company. We had moderated that also, and hence there is a revision in the provisions accordingly. So that is kind of showing you that elevated credit cost, elevated OPEX in Q1. Also, Q4 we added people, and Q1 also we've added people. So these two put together is kind of contributing to a higher OPEX. But with growth starting, you should see that this is inching lesser than 5% as we move forward. And on the third question, stage three provisioning, today we are at roughly around 63%. It is slightly lower than the last quarter because the Karnataka book, where majority of the districts are classified as low risk, has flown forward to stage three. Hence, you're seeing a slight provision. Otherwise, there is no change in provisioning model as such.
Right. Even with the partially paying accounts, you're still comfortable with the level of provisions that you have kept, right?
Yes. So we are quite strong. You would know that we provide stage three at 60 days, not 90 days. And there is already a very high amount of provisioning in all three stages compared to whatever we are able to see in the market.
Got it. And just one follow-up. The reason why I'm stressing on Karnataka and Tamil Nadu is because you've given us a range of 14-18% growth, right? So slowdown over there would make me decide whether it's a, you know, it will help us understand whether the growth is more towards 14 and more towards 18. Do you think your peers' experience of not a very normative growth in that geography could just be because of that is not their home turf or their home geography or something of that sort? Do you think competition has calmed down in many of the geographies? Any comment around that?
See, with respect to Karnataka, I think the confidence will start coming in as people start seeing their fresh par accretion come down. So in our case, because we are seeing it coming under control month on month, our book will also grow as we move forward, right? So for different players, it could actually pan out at slightly different point of time. But I see that it will strongly come back in some time.
Got it. This is very useful, and thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Participants, before we move to the next question, please press star and 1 on your touchtone phone for asking the question. Our next question is from Ms. Shweta D. from Elara. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. So the sanctions which you are holding, say around 3,000 odd crores and the pipeline of closer to 6,500, can you provide the composition across JLG versus individual or retail finance loans? Second is, so this 350 odd crores of provisions which have been made towards new power accretion. So again, here also if you can provide some color on the customer cohort. And lastly, while the employee attrition has been declining and over 300 bits now, quarter on quarter, but can you just provide any color on any geographic related concentration here in terms of employee attrition? Thank you.
I think for us, I'll take the third question first. With respect to attrition, Over the last two quarters, we've been able to kind of stabilize headcount across all states, right? However, we do see slightly higher attrition in the state of Tamil Nadu, which is more or less, I am seeing this as a pattern across BFSI, not necessarily microfinance. But we keep a slightly higher bench there to kind of manage attrition. But otherwise, the rest of the country is kind of quite stable for us. And with respect to the borrowing related question, the sanction in hand, I'm asking Nilesh to take that.
So, Shweta, with respect to the sanctions in hand and sanctions in pipeline, largely all these funding lines are have an underlying as microfinance loans. So we have not yet started availing loans, keeping retail finance as an underlying, because that book is still, it's in a growth phase. And once we reach a certain disbursement quantum on a monthly basis, then we will look at hypothecating retail finance assets for our funding. So as of now, the funding is purely basis the microfinance book. And your second question on the provisions on the new PAR. So the provisioning is again in line with our ECL policy. So as you are aware, we are taking a district-based provisioning approach. And depending upon the classification of the district, the provisioning is done. So as of now, the new PAR accretion, we have anyways provided the new PAR accretions across various states. For your information, and depending on in which district this new PAR comes, whether it is in a low risk, medium risk, or high risk, in basis that the provisioning rate will be determined. So largely, as of now, we are not seeing any major deviations. It's been a normative trend over last few months.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on customer count, which has been written off this quarter, and how should we think about active customer growth? When do you expect that to happen, and what is the expectation to reach active customer base by the end of this financial year?
Right. So broadly, I think by end of Q2, most part of the write-off would have happened. And we are confident of adding roughly around 1 lakh customers on an average per month for this financial year. So hopefully we should be able to kind of maintain this trend and settle down around how much?
We should see growth in the from third and fourth quarter
addition
the customer base, because the write-offs will be largely done. And if you see normatively, in second half, even if we add, say, 6 lakh customers, so it will have 6 lakh customers on a base of 45 is around close to 15% growth. But then there will also be a normative attrition on a maybe around 6 to 7% in the second half. So we should see around 5 to 7% growth in the borrower base on a overall basis.
Sure. And what is the count of customer which has been written off in this quarter?
4.6 lakh.
Year on year.
This
quarter is 4.6. 4.6 lakh we written off. In Q1.
Yeah.
Sure. Second is...
Nidesh, my bad. It's on a trailing 12-month basis, we have written off 4.6 lakh borrowers. In first quarter,
yeah,
we have written off around 1.8 lakhs.
Okay, sure. And what is the quantum of interest income written off in the quarter?
Around 88 crores.
So that should also reduce after Q3, right? As your written off, writes off slows down, that interest income written off should also reduce from Q3 onwards.
Yes, largely in Q2, we should see a similar figure, but from Q3 onwards, it should taper off.
So, and in terms of cost of fund, how should you see the trajectory of cost of fund going forward?
Cost of funds, directionally, they should improve. However, today what we are seeing is that our borrowings are linked to MCLR. And usually the reset happens on an annual basis at different points in time. So while the repo has fallen by 100 bps, it takes at least 2 quarters to for the transmission to happen in MCLR. So we should see some benefit flowing in. So like in Q1, we already seen around 8 bps of benefit. So the larger benefit should come by end of the financial year and in the next, the first quarter of next year.
Okay, sure. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, Ravish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arvind R. from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Considering the accelerated provisioning we have made, of 193 crore in this first quarter, are we still confident of, sticking to, are we still confident of, getting to the guidance of credit cost of 5.5% to 6%? That is my first question. And then second question, is with respect to higher OPEX. I understand, we have made multiple efforts in terms of strengthening collections and, maintaining higher bin strength in Tamil Nadu geography because of higher attrition rate. But do you think this will improve as we, the growth picks up? That is the second question.
Yeah. So first question, on the guidance on credit cost, because we are seeing month-on-month improvement, we believe that we should be able to reach that. But Q2 will give us better confidence if we continue to improve the performance on this and kind of reinforce that we should be able to meet this. On the OPEX side, like I said, Q3 and Q4, you will see it dropping, and hence by end of the year, it should drop down below 5%. So currently it is high because of two things. Like I said, one is because of higher employees added in Q4 and as well as Q1. And also because of the effect that in Q4 provisions for APB were reversed to kind of rationalize the budget for the same. And that has kind of made Q4 employee costs lower. And we've also added increment provisions in Q1. So that has also kind of contributed to higher OPEX.
Sure, sir. But just one follow-up question on credit cost. You mentioned that, the lower credit cost in, the second half, but, it has to be as low as, 3-4% for us to, get to a point of, 5-6% kind of our credit cost for the full year.
Right. The confidence for us is that given that the monsoons are better and field level issues have reduced, we are looking at lower migration and a significant improvement in performance in Q3 and Q4. And hence, we are saying that it should be maintainable.
Sure. If I can just ask one more question, this is with respect to regulatory, relaxation in terms of, MFI, as a percentage of the overall portfolio, reduced from 75 to 60%.
Right.
Does it mean that, industry will have much more of individual, MFI, basically unsecured, loans, offered to the, a good set of customers as a overall at the industry level? And will that happen with CredAg also? Higher portion of individual MFI?
Right. So you would have seen that we've already laid out a 2028 plan, where we've said that we will diversify into these asset classes, and over a period of the next few years, we will reach roughly around 12 to 15% of diversification. Similarly, with this higher room, I think a lot of players will step in to experiment into adjacent asset classes, could be mortgage, some of them could be other asset classes that they are confident about. But I think this will grow in a phased manner. I don't see a significant ramp up across this, because all of this needs investment, thought process, technology, credit policy, etc. So I think this will be a phased growth, but it would be over a period of time. Probably most MFIs would see diversification in their portfolio per se. But I don't see it going up very quickly, but it should take a phased growth.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir. Sure. Hi, good evening. Congratulations on very good numbers. Firstly, on collections, I mean, if you can comment on July collection efficiency or PAR accretion trend so far. Also what we see is this reduction in the PAR 15 accretion rate across markets. Is it also correlating or aligning with the fact that center meeting attendance is now coming back? Yeah, center meeting collections are improving. Can you also, you know, give us some sense around it?
Sure. See, July collections, I would say, has been stable, as per our expectation, and hopefully, it should remain strong in August and September also. He asked about Karnataka, is it? Okay. Karnataka is improving, but overall, I think, we've been stable in July also. With respect to center meeting attendance, today, we know that attendance has dipped to a certain extent. It is not as per historical levels, but we've always maintained that center attendance today has no direct linkage to repayment. Most of our repayments are coming through center meetings. Like we said earlier, your early morning center meetings have better attendance. Post 9 A.M. center meetings, we've seen that the center meeting attendance has dropped. We are also seeing an uptick in digital collections. We've reached roughly around 16% of our collections are coming through digital modes now. We will have to see how this moves, but I don't see that as a challenge as long as you're investing to see what is happening and kind of, you know, complement it with digital modes of connecting with the customer. Digitization is something that is contributing. Second is the amount of women getting employed has also significantly increased in rural markets. That is also resulting. Still, the early morning center meeting attendance is quite encouraging. Post 9 A.M. is something that has been falling, but we don't see it so far as an implication to our repayments. Most of our repayments are happening through center meetings. Today, if you see our almost our daily collection efficiency as well as monthly collection efficiency is similar. If you're not getting money in the meetings, this is not tenable. It's not maintainable.
If you can comment on the rejection rate after the April guardrail, you know, what is it, you know, now versus what it was before the guardrail came in April?
Right.
How do you see the rejection rate going forward? Because the industry's leverage, the customer's leverage is also correcting. Do you think that, in the second half, the rejection rates will kind of ease off, allowing you to add more customers, because the leverage would have settled by then, and that will also help you for growth?
Right. So far, after the guardrail two, which I think we picked up around February, not in April, most of the industry picked up a little early. The rejection rates have gone up by around 5%-10%. We think, according to what you are saying also, our assumption is also that post Q2, because the leveraging would have dropped, it's possible that we could see slightly better approval rates.
Yeah.
May not be significantly different because you will also have to reach out much wider. If you're spreading out wider, probably, you will have more customers, and then it should balance out. You could see a slight increase in approval rates as we think, as we see in Q3.
Okay. Just one last thing on, you know, our guidance and, you know, our guidance is between first half and second half. In second half, we are talking about, you know, Q3, Q4 being near 4.5% ROAs and around 18% ROEs. In that sense, you know, are we here assuming that the number of customer per loan officer, that metric will improve and, you know, give us some operating leverage, some cost leverage, here? Because I think as you said, lending rates, maybe are not changing. Cost of fund will gradually improve. NIMs, you've already guided. Credit cost also you've already guided, where we can land in the second half. Are we assuming some leverage from this metric that, you know, the cost can be better absorbed with the growth coming back?
Right. We should see that because post Q2, the drop because of accelerated write-off would kind of slow down, right? You will see that the averages are inching up along with growth of new customers.
See, Rajeev, I'll add a couple of points here on the operating, I mean, on the OpEx to AUM question. See, largely, as you see, our AUM is still flat at what it was in FY 2024. We are still at around 26,000. and maybe it stays at this level for another quarter because of the accelerated write-offs. So while the disbursements are healthy, customer additions are happening, but maybe because of the accelerated write-off, the denominator is at 26,000. And in second half, obviously, it will grow in line with the whatever disbursements we are envisaging. So it is more of a base effect in first half, wherein our employee expenses on a YOY basis, obviously, they will go up because we'll have our annual increments will be in place. And plus, whatever employee addition we did in the fourth quarter, almost 1,000 new employees were added in fourth quarter. So obviously, their salary contribution will also reflect in this year. So there is a normative increase in the operating expenses. And also, historically, the branch expansion we have typically conducted in the first half. So even in Q1, we have added around 50+ branches, and we'll primarily complete our branch expansion in second quarter. So even that leads to certain front loading of expenses, which usually gets adjusted in the second half. So this OpEx, which is today around 5.1, it may stay at that level in Q2, and then Q3, Q4, as the growth picks up, we should see that ratio again dropping below 5.
Rajiv, Gurraj here. Just to add to the point of customers per Kendra manager. See, currently it stands at around 320. And the main reason being is accelerated write-off what we are taking, which is resulting in a lower customer base. But we do expect that post-September, when the accelerated write-off is completed, this number will revert back to our historical average. So we should be by year-end, it should reach the historical averages, which will provide a better efficiency in terms of productivity per employee.
Got it. Thank you so much. Yeah, sorry, please continue.
No, I got you.
Okay. Thank you, Rajiv.
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Taluja from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes.
Just few questions at my end. Sir, if I just take whatever the new PAR accretion, what is currently 0.46, and if I assume that this stays at the current levels for another quarter, is it right? Because the credit cost, which you have showed in the first quarter, 2.2%, and if I assume that your, for the quarter, your forward flow rate would be 1.5%, and if you make 63%-65% of the PCR, probably 1% credit cost is required on a non-annualized basis, will be for the no, and plus the write-offs, which can even potentially. So that, can we say that in the second quarter, your credit cost can revert to a levels of 1.5% on a non-annualized, and then third, fourth quarter, potentially where we can see a massive improvement of the below 1%, on below 1%. Is that understanding right?
Himanshu. So largely, if things go as per what we are envisaging, this is the trajectory we should see. Because, as you see, even in first quarter, while there was certain provisioning with respect to the new PAR, which came in first quarter, but there was also secondary impact of the PAR, which came in fourth quarter and which kind of flew into the advanced buckets in the first quarter. So that's where in first quarter, there has been a little elevated impact on the new PAR related provisioning. Now, when we go in second quarter, obviously, since the new PAR accretion in Q1 has been lower than what it was in Q4, so obviously the secondary impact of that will be lesser in Q2, and the primary impact of the new PAR, which comes in Q2, obviously it will have a similar kind of provisioning. So we should see this 572 number, it will keep declining. And obviously, if
so, the idea is to understand the pace of the decline. What my math says that from going ahead quarters, assuming if your flow rate doesn't increase and stays at even at the current to a declining trajectory, your credit cost should materially decline from the coming quarters now.
Himanshu. So that's what I mean. If we look at our guidance, we are saying that obviously first half the credit cost will be elevated, and in second half the run rate will be 3-3.5%. So obviously, if the 3-3.5% is a run rate, the quarterly cost will be below 1% on a non-annualized basis.
Fair. Thank you. Thanks a lot for this clarification. Second is on the growth guidance. Sir, can you help us? What kind of the portfolio are you trying to build on the your retail finance? Because that proportion in the mix is also rising. Assumingly, the 2 years forward, FY26 and FY27, where you see this mix will going to be? And if you can also help us, what kind of the portfolio you are trying to build in this?
Right. So right now, because our mortgage is a long journey, the book today is a little more of unsecured loans will grow faster. Your mortgage will take time to grow. But once both businesses are established, the mortgage business will run down slower, whereas the unsecured business loan will run down faster. So over the medium term, you should see that. Today, I think 70% is unsecured business loans, whereas 30% is secured. 75-25 approximately. So this should keep changing over the next few years, right? So that's how we envisage. And in the medium term should kind of reach around 50-50.
Sorry, around 15% over the medium term?
Around 50-50, around half each.
Okay, got it. But where you think this mix of retail finance share can go from 3% last year to 7% currently, can this head towards 12-15% in the 2 years time frame?
What we have guided is around by 2028, end of the year 2028, we should reach anywhere between 12-15%. And we are confident of reaching that number.
Sorry, what percent?
12-15% is what we've guided for 2028.
Fair. So secondly, lastly, given this guardrail 1 and the 2, probably we see potentially 20% of the borrowers has gone completely out of the system. On a sustainable basis, what sort of the growth one can expect, assumingly the second half become normalized, then if you have to really guide the growth on your MFI book, what you believe on a sustainable basis you can deliver?
Yeah, I think in a normal scenario, MFI book should grow in the early teens, maybe around 13-15%. And along with retail, we projected that the overall growth should be 20% plus, 20-25% kind of range. So it will moderate to around 10-15% in the microfinance side.
Correct. Yeah, thanks a lot, sir. Thanks a lot for your for answering. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Abhishek from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Hi. Good evening, everyone. My first question is on Bihar. You've actually carved it out in your GLP branches and all, and there's a clear slowdown. This is just until November, until the elections are over, and then you think there's some growth potential, or you think that it's too overheated and therefore this consolidation in the AUM. So just wanted to check what's your thoughts regarding that.
Right. So Bihar, we had actually slowed down last year because we saw certain amount of aberration in the credit cost in Bihar.
Right.
So we had kind of strengthened the team, added people, and we've started growing business there. So it is nothing to do with the environment there. It is a lot more internal in our view that saw that we were slightly higher credit cost in Bihar even compared to industry. So we had to kind of slow down to see what's going wrong, correct our policies, people, and we restarted growth there. So it should... It's nothing to do with the election or overheat at this point. We are very small compared to the industry there. But I think we should be growing at some pace from now.
And can you highlight what change you made for yourself?
No, so Bihar, we had a slightly higher attrition, right? So normally with higher attrition,
okay,
you will have higher credit cost. So we had to evolve a certain amount of people strategy there, and we strengthened the bench there, and we are okay now.
Okay, perfect. The other question is about this year's branch addition plan and hiring plan. Can you share that?
Yeah, every year on an average, we do around 200. This year also, we should do around 8-10%. So roughly around 200 branches we should add this year. We've done 54 in Q1.
and we will spread this out over the next couple of quarters.
Okay, and hiring of like employees?
So typically, we start a branch with around 5 field officers and 1 branch manager. So if you include the rest of it, you can count 6 more. Yeah, so you can average assume 6 per branch because you also have support functions like auditors and all of them coming in. So then you can assume that kind of increase.
No, but you would also be hiring for the retail finance functions, which you are growing much more, and those are relatively smaller.
So retail today is not material. We have around 110 branches. Probably we'll add around 10-15 branches. That is also baked into this branch count.
No, I was asking more from a hiring perspective, the employee addition point of view. So there is one which you explained, which is JLG related, but then retail finance related, how many do you need to add? Because that is where you need to really invest.
Right. So what I was saying is that the branch count that we said of 200 also includes expansion in retail finance branches. And we start off the retail finance branches also with a similar headcount, right? And what we are working on is to see how we convert our group loan branches to contribute to mortgage, for which we may add slight number of manpower because right now it is on a pilot stage. But it should be similar, right? If you assume around 6 per count per branch, we should be in that range. So we should be not more than that.
And Abhishek, for retail finance, the scale-up will be coming from the existing branches because the mortgage book was the individual unsecured loans were piloted 4 years back, but mortgage loans were piloted 2 years back. So now they will enter into a scale-up mode. And the existing 100 branches itself, wherein there is already an existing 1,000-member team. So the existing branches will be driving the scale-up in this business. So while the new branch addition will be there, but obviously the larger component of growth will be coming from existing branches when it comes to
staging. And it will primarily be these two products, right? Individual and home loans. You're not looking to scale up any other product materially right now.
The retail finance branches only do mortgage today, be it home loan or secured business loans. As you know, we do unsecured business loans through the group loan branches, but through much more stronger underwriting norms there.
Right.
We did a small pilot of two-wheeler, which we could see some amount of scale-up during this year, but may not be materially different, materially high number.
Right. Yeah, understood. Yeah. So the 12-15% will basically be on the back of mortgage and individual.
Yes.
Perfect. Got it. Thanks so much and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from AB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Abhishek.
Just wanted to ask, one of your competitors had commented in their con call, I think in the last con call, questioning the viability of the traditional joint lending group business model in future. So do you have any doubt about it in future? Just wanted your broad opinion.
See, I think we have kind of stated our position on the earlier also. The only change that we are seeing, Abhishek, is that the probability of the customer's life in the JLG model could be shorter, right? So we still don't see that the JLG liability model will become unviable. But however, we believe that once a customer comes into the formal financial system, today we have customers who are 15 years, 20 years also with us. So the vintage of the customer in microfinance could get moderated over a period of time. So they come in through the JLG model, probably spend 2-3 years, create a credit history, and once they have a credit history, probably move up the ladder and move towards individual loan. So this is what we envisage. Otherwise, I don't see today an alternative to JLG for this profile of customers to run very successfully, right? So this model, I think, will be an entry point, but then the graduation can become faster.
Okay. Thank you.
As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shripal Doshi for closing comments.
Thank you, Shruti. and thanks to the management of Credit Access Grameen for giving us the opportunity to host the call. Thank you, sir, and thanks to all participants for being there on the call.
Thank you all for your continuous support. Look forward to the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Equirus Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.